Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And off we go into hour number three, just like that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. How do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. What's up, world? Great to be with you again. I am Rob Brown. Brandon, filling in for the great one, Lonzo, this morning. A bit under the weather. We are pulling for him and hope to have the great one return to the show after a not-so-brief hiatus. But, you know, my man is the peak of male performance. We got to get him back to 100% so we can show once again to the world why he is a great one. Very glad to hear have Brandon with us here on the show today. Want you on the show today. Join us, won't you, by giving us a buzz on the Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone at 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with fan, F-A-N, fan, F-A-N, and we will read them on the radio broadcast. You can tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. You can also get at us at The Fan Upstate if you want to go in that direction. So, Major League Baseball has a problem right now. Major League Baseball, in the days since this weekend when Spencer Strider got his second start, Spencer Strider had a very average day on opening day. Turned it around 5 days later, five games later, for his second start. Second start, made it about five innings, and was removed from the game after getting shelled early with what was described as elbow discomfort after being flown to Texas to go see Dr. Kevin Meister. They found out that he has damage to his UCL in his pitching arm. Now, Braves fans held their collective breaths that Spencer Strider would be diagnosed with a minor issue, maybe miss a couple of months, make his return this season. We still don't know if that is the case because, unfortunately, very frequently, minor elbow discomfort is followed up by the need for Tommy John surgery. That is what Shohei Ohtani went through. That is why Shohei Ohtani will not be pitching this year. It is also what Gerrit Cole dealt with, though he did not have to get the surgery. He is going to have to miss some months for a New York Yankees squad that has eyes set on returning to prominence in the American League's East Division. The favorites right now are the Yankees tied with the Baltimore Orioles. And because the Baltimore Orioles are a team predicated by offense, the best thing the Yankees could have is a great pitching staff. Gerrit Cole is down for some time. Framber Valdez of the Houston Astros was scratched from a start yesterday due to elbow discomfort. Of course, the Astros fans are now in a panic. We have missed time due to elbow discomfort and or required surgery for Justin Verlander. Clayton Kershaw, same situation for the Dodgers. This is an epidemic taking place around MLB. And the problem is not just that pitchers are going down. The problem is aces are going down. The problem is guys whose performance would define the season are going down. Spencer Strider going down doesn't necessarily change up the fact that the Braves are the favorites in the NL East. But if you don't think that the Philadelphia Phillies heard that and didn't start to salivate just a little bit, if you don't think that whoever gets the draw to face Atlanta, assuming they get the number one overall seed, though, let's be real. Without Spencer Strider, that might be 3, 4, 5 wins the Braves don't pick up. 3, 4, 5 wins that the Braves don't pick up could be the difference between the one seed and the two seed with the LA Dodgers. If it turns out to be the difference and the Braves get the two seed, now all of a sudden they got to play in the wild card round. That's one more opponent that could get white hot at the end of the year, snag a wild card spot, and eliminate the Atlanta Braves in week one. The Dodgers, again, competing for the one seed. Clayton Kershaw, along with a couple of other pitchers, in the pen, on the DL for the LA Dodgers. If, theoretically speaking, of course, the Atlanta Braves were to have, with Spencer Strider, jumped out to a big lead in the National League, which now they haven't. The Braves are 6-3. The Dodgers are 9-4. Of course, keep in mind that they also had a jump start on the season because they played those two games in Seoul, South Korea the week before regular opening day. But if, theoretically, the Dodgers were to have jumped out to a big lead and run away with the one seed, that'd have been a big deal. If the Braves would have done it early in the season, jumped out on the Dodgers to a big lead before they had their big pitchers come back from elbow discomfort and or surgery, it could be the Dodgers playing in the two seed. Dodgers got bumped in a sweep by the Diamondbacks last year in the NLDS. The perfect the problem here that MLB has is that this is now an epidemic of aces. This is now an epidemic of not just starters going down, but starters that will definitively have a direct impact on the playoffs and the playoff seeding. That's a problem.
All right, so let's ask you this and that real quick before you go any further. Do you think that the pitch clock is causing problems to all the big names, or is it the entire pitching as a whole? Because, I mean, look at Snell. Great name. He got rocked last night. So, again, do you think that the pitching clock has an issue with causing all these major injuries? Because, you know, the PA issued that statement stating that they're rigorously trying to figure out what's going on. So
that's exactly where we're going with this. Garrett Cole, Yuri Perez, Lucas Giolito, all guys that have been sidelined. There are, as of right now, as of Saturday, this past weekend, only across baseball, there were only two former Cy Young winners on active Major League Baseball rosters. Corbin Burns, Blake Snell. The only two Cy Young winners that were active on a roster over the weekend were Corbin Burns and Blake Snell. Tony Clark and the MLBPA released a statement Saturday that said, quote, "Despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule change in decades. Since then, our concerns about the health impacts of reduced recovery time have only intensified. The league's unwillingness thus far to acknowledge or study the effects of these profound changes is an unprecedented threat to our game and its most valuable asset, players," end quote. Now, baseball is pushed back on this. Baseball released their own statement in direct response to the MLBPA. It said, quote, "This statement ignores the empirical evidence and much more significant long-term trend over multiple decades of velocity and spin increases that are highly correlated with arm injuries. Nobody wants to see pitchers get hurt in this game, which is why MLB is currently undergoing a significant comprehensive research study into the causes of this long-term increase, interviewing prominent medical experts across baseball, which to date has been consistent with an independent analysis by Johns Hopkins University that found no evidence to support that the introduction to the pitch clock has increased injuries. In fact, JHU found no evidence that pitchers who worked quickly in 2023 were more likely to sustain an injury than those who worked less quickly on average. JHU also found no evidence that pitchers who sped up their pace were more likely to sustain an injury than those who did not." So the MLBPA and a number of pitchers, including Gerrit Cole, have said they believe the pitch clock has some level of impact on this whole thing. Now, asked about it, Gerrit Cole said he doesn't think it's just the pitch clock. Cole said, quote, "I don't know what the answer is, but I know it's not black and white like both of the statements that were put out. I don't feel like players are the main focus of it, and taking care of the players is the main focus of it." End quote. So, this is interesting because based on the conversations that I have had, based on the things that Cody Decker has told me, as Cody Decker is somebody that is, again, still to this day, very connected with big names in the baseball world. Those in the know believe that there are indeed two main aspects to this. And the pitch clock is absolutely one of them. Cody Decker told me on our show, Bet for the Cycle, which airs every Saturday from noon to 4 on the BetQL Network, that one of the things pitchers are concerned with when it comes to the pitch clock is this. Two things have changed about pitching over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Deck pointed out that if you go back to baseball, say 2003, there were then a dozen guys in all of Major League Baseball that could routinely throw the ball 99 miles an hour or more. Now the majority of them can. 99 miles an hour on the radar is not unusual anymore. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's relatively common at this point. Of course, to make a ball go 99 miles an hour, just about every bendy part in a pitcher, from his knees, up through his hips, up through his shoulders, up through his elbow, up to his wrist, up to his fingers, they all have to be included. You have got to, everything from twist the hips to build momentum forward. You've got to then push off the back leg. You have got to take shock through the ankle, through the knee, to the hips. You then have to throw the body forward. You have to bend the arm behind your back, which is your back, your shoulder. You then have to whip the ball forward. If you ever watch, go on YouTube and Google pitcher in slow motion and watch the arm of a pitcher when they throw a fastball. And what you'll see is that a pitcher's arm, from the shoulder to the elbow is then behind, like, directly behind, the wrist is directly behind the elbow, and then it snaps over the top. That is so much stress on every tendon and ligament in the arm, from the shoulder down to the fingertips. And with pitchers throwing the ball harder and faster than ever before, change-ups in the game now are what fastballs were in the 90s. If you go back and you think about pitching in, let's say, the Braves' first dynastic era, the majority of the guys who were known as the best pitchers, they weren't heat guys. They were movement and placement guys. They were precision guys. They were guys that could put it at your knees, on the black rubber, across from you, or inside of you every time. It's incredible. Now, the majority of the pitchers who were the best, not all, are heat guys, are guys that can get a triple figure on the radar gun. that takes so much more stress on the body, so much more bending and forcing through the ligaments and the tendons. And there are a lot of folks in baseball who believe that that is one of the two things. Now, Dex said that he had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a sports orthopedic doctor who said that one of the issues here is the fact that when a pitcher throws a ball, the recovery time is not good anymore. It used to be that once you threw a ball and you put all of that stress on the ligaments and the tendons from your shoulder down to your elbow to your wrist to your fingertips, one of the things that used to happen was pitchers had recovery time between pitches. So by the time that the catcher got the ball, tossed it back to the pitcher was able to stretch it out, get back on the mound, go through his whole routine setup. All of that time is recovery time for the ligaments and the tendons inside of a pitcher's shoulder and elbow and wrist and fingertips. And it allowed those tendons and those ligaments to shake that stress out, to go back to their normal resting position before they got pushed through the stress again. But now they're at the point, that they don't have that anymore. That rest time between pitches isn't there anymore, so the ligaments and the tendons in the arm don't reset and don't have the opportunity to rest. He said, Dex said, think about it this way. When you go to the gym and you get on the bench press and you rep out, like me, 700 pounds on the bench press, and you rep that out 40, 50 times, as, of course, I do, for sure. He said, think about this. When you hit your max and you put that weight back onto the rack, what do? You sit up, you take a breather, you stretch it out, you drop the arms, you let them hang. Why are you doing that? Because your body is recovering. There's short-term recovery and there's long-term recovery. That short-term recovery is important. That short-term recovery allows all the things in your body, your muscles, tendons, ligaments, all the things we're talking about, it allows them to reset to where they go naturally. Now, you've ripped muscle fiber. That's what working out is. You're shredding your muscles, and when they rebuild with more muscle fiber. That's what grows muscle mass. I mean, look at me. I'm an athlete, you know. But with your ligaments and tendons, it's like stretching a rubber band. You stretch that rubber band, and it's going to go back to a similar size, but it takes a little while for it to contract back down to its regular size. He said what the pitchers are doing now with the clock is you're never letting the rubber band go back to its original resting position and set. You're stretching it, you're letting it come back a little, stretching it, letting it come back a little. And by the time you're done with that and you let go of that rubber band, that rubber band is never going to go back to its original spot. And pitchers believe that is what's happening. But there's another element to this, and Joey B took me exactly where I was going, which is an interview that Tyler Glasnow did not too long ago, where he said that when baseball banned sticky stuff on the ball, one of the things that pitchers are saying they have to do now is, in order to create that spin rate that makes a ball break or slide or curve or slurve or whatever, in order to create that spin rate, that 90,000 RPM spin rate that makes a ball defy the laws of physics to move through the air and to break on you. Glasnow said the pitchers now have to grip the ball harder, right? With the sticky stuff, you didn't have to squeeze down on the ball as much to get that friction when you come over the top and you break that wrist. If you've never thrown a curveball, I don't really know how to explain it, but basically what you're doing is, based on the pitch you're throwing, you rest your fingers across the seams of the baseball in a certain way. So, for instance, the way I used to throw a curveball is my top two fingers together and then the seam pushed to the inside of my middle finger. So when I came over the top and snapped that wrist down, my finger, as that wrist snapped, that finger pushed the seam underneath the baseball and it created the spin end over end, so that as the ball went to the plate, with the ball spinning through the air would catch those seams and it would change the pitch of the baseball so that it would nosedive down. Or when I would come over the top and snap the wrist at an angle, it would create that break on that slider so that instead of dropping down, the ball would slide away from the batter or into the batter, whatever. Because the sticky stuff is gone, pitchers are having to squeeze the ball harder to make sure that when they snap that wrist on a breaking ball, they're getting the push off that seam to create that spin and create that break. Taking the sticky stuff away may have contributed to this as well. So I got to tell you, I really think both sides have a point. On one hand, let's be honest. The pitch clock has been a success for baseball. If you take the injuries out of it, the pitch clock has been a success. Games have been sped up by 20 or 30 minutes, but as I've pointed out, it is not the 20 or the 30 minutes of game time gained by fans. It is the 20 or 30 minutes of 10, 15, 20 seconds in a game. It's when the ball gets back to Glass now and he's on the bump. I'm not sitting there staring at Tyler Glass now, rubbing the ball and staring at the catcher for 30 seconds before he throws the next pitch. It's 15. You are talking a pickup of 5 to 12 seconds every pitch of a baseball game. And with the short attention span of baseball fans, of Americans as a whole, that's a world of difference. The pitch clock has been a success, but I will tell you right now, if there is some sort of scientific analysis, if there is some sort of empirical data, which baseball says there's not, but baseball also has a reason to say that. Baseball has a because baseball's not going to go, yeah, we did the pitch clock, and all we did was maybe cost some guys their career. They're not going to say that. If there is a neutral, empirical study that is done that directly connects the pitch clock to these pitching injuries where we are losing not just names but Cy Young winners across the league one by one to these same elbow injuries over and over, you can have the damn pitch clock back. You can add 20 minutes back to my game because I would rather have 20-minute longer baseball games and Spencer Strider then 20-minute shorter games, but Perez is down, Strider is down, Cole is down, Glasnow is down, Kershaw is down, Verlander is down, whoever else. I'd rather have longer games. So I'm real intrigued to see what steps comes next and which way these two sides, the MLBPA and the MLB, decide to go in order to try to get an answer through the numbers for this. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. We'll get away from baseball and get to some football coming up. Big contract extension for the Panthers, and it was the right move. Dan Morgan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. Brandon in for the great Alonzo. Texter says, dear host. Well, that's very cordial of you, Texter. Thank you so much. Dear host, please consider those of us who are here for all other sports besides baseball and move on. Sincerely, half your listeners. So I'm going to go with a couple of things. Number one, it took me till 8 o'clock in the morning. That is 2 hours of, quote, all other sports before I touched baseball. And by the way, if you are keeping track, we are coming up on the 2-week mark, and I have yet to subject you to baseball. I have done, I think, cumulatively since a Thursday gone by and a Thursday before, which is a really dramatic way of saying a week and a half ago. I believe I have done 3 baseball segments at this point. And one of them to me is one of the most important baseball things that has happened in a while. Could you imagine what might happen if some rule change in football led to Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Bryce Young, Brock Purdy, Lamar Jackson, all going down within 2 weeks of each other? The world would lose its entire and collective and justifiably so. Now, texter, just because of your text, I'm going to do one more baseball thing right here.
Hey, Rob, remind me again, what's America's pastime?
It is baseball.
Yes, sir.
It is
Sorry,
baseball.
Texter, but it is baseball.
It is not America's favorite sport, and I'm under no pretense that it is. But to tell me half my audience hates baseball, I'm going to disagree. And just for you, texter, I am going to do one more baseball segment. Hold tight, then we'll get away from it. Rob Manfred was on the Craig Carton show over the weekend, and they got into some discussions. I'm real interested in something that he said a couple of days ago, which is this. And of course, end of freaking course. Hang on just a second while I get that fixed. Here we go.
You talked about the product on the field being up to your par. You're happy with it. I love the pitch clock. I agree with you. Are there new things coming down the pipeline for the game?
I think the next thing that we are working on is the automated strike zone.
Right.
We have put a lot of time and money into the development of the system. The technology, absolutely awesome. It is actually accurate to 1/100th of an inch. It will call whatever geometry of a strike zone you tell it. You can tell it to call an oval, you can tell it to call a rectangle, you tell it to call whatever.
Are we calling the technology the Angel Hernandez technology? Or are we not? Is that the unofficial name of it?
I'm a hard no comment on that. I just want that. Did we get that? Okay.
I figured you're retiring soon. I get the check.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Mr. Not that soon.
Talk about the product.
Okay.
The
All right. Stop.
Car.
Stop it.
With it.
Stop. All right.
The
just
clock.
Shut up. Okay, shut up. Point is, two things happen there that I absolutely adore. Number one, strike zone tech.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Strike zone tech.
That'll be great, man.
Strike zone tech.
Oh, yeah!
Strike zone tech.
Fire!
Yes, that's so good. Finally, this has been needed for a long time. It really has. It really has. And you heard right there why. I'm not a huge Craig Carton guy. I got nothing against him. He's just not my not on my list of sports personalities I pay attention to. But I gotta tell you, I'm giving him credit right there. Because he had the rocks to say to Rob Manfred's face, are we calling it the Angel Hernandez technology? Incredible. Thank you so much, Craig Carton. Thank you for that moment. Because if you're not, you should. Because, and this is true, I've done the research, Angel Hernandez sucks at his job. He's real bad at his job. He's real, real bad at his job. He did it again this weekend. Not only did he miss, and when I say this, I'm not being dramatic. I am being deadly serious. Not only did he miss the worst and most obvious balk in the history of baseball, but he allowed that pitcher to continue with the pitch and then rang up a bad strike call on it. He also K'd a dude on a ball that was about 6 inches off the plate and then had the audacity to walk a dude on a 92-mile-an-hour blister pitch that was dead down the center of the pipe.
You know, you got to wonder if this Angel Hernandez guy, if he does it just for fun, like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go have a bad game just because I know it'll get me the notoriety.
Yeah, what are they going to do, fire me? Yeah. They can't fire me. I'm part of the union. I appreciate Craig Carton calling out Angel Hernandez there. And on top of appreciating Craig Carton calling out Angel Hernandez there, I also love that he put Rob Manfred on the spot and made Rob Manfred say, yo, I can't comment on that. Basically admitting and acknowledging that he also knows Angel Hernandez is bad at his job. I love that. But listen, give me strike zone tech, okay? I know for a fact that not only does it exist, but I know how incredibly accurate it is because I have literally seen it in motion multiple times at multiple parks. Minor league parks have this tech now. You can go up in the press box and you can watch the results of this tech. And it, as Rob Manfred pointed out, to within hundreds of an inch can tell you directly over the plate where the baseball goes. It's unbelievable. And before I get the one text that says, but you're taking the human element out of baseball. Good. Good. I'm glad. Human element is just a swanky way of saying error, mistakes, bad judgmental calls. But you don't want to admit that. But that's what it is. You want bad calls. You want bad calls. You are looking for bad calls. You are begging for bad calls, but you don't have the rocks to acknowledge that you are entertained by bad calls.
You know what the Angel Hernandez calls, though? I mean, those some of the mistakes he makes, it blows your mind. You're like, how? How did you get into this profession with all the garbage calls you make?
He's atrocious.
Yes, there are. It's okay to have bad calls. It's going to happen.
No, it's not. Remember. No, it's not.
In
no, it's
every
not.
Every sport, you're going to no, have bad not. Call happen.
Correct, and we should try to get them out because, as I've said a million times, and I'll say this, and then I'll get out because that texter's head, like the movie Scanners, is about to explode. The game, as I said after the offensive foul in the UConn-Iowa game, as I said after the Saints got screwed out of a Super Bowl by the worst missed pass interference call in the history of the National Football League, as I've said every time something like this happens, the game should be dictated by one thing and one thing alone, the performance of the athletes, and nothing else. Nothing else. If I will tell you right now, if I could go full 100% top to bottom, left to right, up to down, nothing else but robots umpiring games, I am all in. If I could have RoboCam behind the plate, RoboCam at every base, if I could have robots making every single call on a baseball field, I would push the green button today.
So
now,
you're okay with Skynet rolling everything?
Yep, 100%. If you're talking about the world of baseball, abso-damn-lutely I am. Because a strike is a strike or not a strike. Not, well, you know, for this umpire it isn't. No. Did it go over the rubber? Yes, it's a strike. No, it's a ball. That's not a subjective call. That's not a subjective call. It's a strike or it's a ball. A guy either beat out the throw to first or he didn't. That's not a subjective call. He's safe or he's out. There is a definition set for both of them. And we could do away with subjectivity. If a runner beats the baseball to first base, does he deserve to be called safe? Yes or no? Yes, he does. Because he played the game. If a runner's running to first and there's a bang bang play, one of those bangs comes before the other bang. It's not bang 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 because there's two bangs happening at once. If a runner beats the baseball to first, it is bang bang, but the bang that's before the other bang is the best bang. And we're out here trying to get our best bang. That's what we're doing. So whatever the bang in bang bang is, that's what should be called on the field. If a ball crosses over home plate in the strike zone, it's a strike. And if it doesn't, it's a ball. It shouldn't be based on if the umpire is mad because his wife didn't give him no sweet loving last night. It should not matter if the ump got the bow chicka bow wow on last night. It is in a super good mood because his wife was in a super good mood last night. I don't need it to... It's been 3 weeks since my wife gave me the loving. Screw you. You're out. No. That's not... It's a strike or it's not. Put the damn TrackMan on every home plate in Major League Baseball and let's let strikes be strikes and balls be balls and sexually frustrated umpires go somewhere else to deal with their crap.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wrapping up the third hour of the Rob Brown Radio program. This is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob and Brandon with you this morning. Great one. Hopefully feeling a little better and will rejoin us tomorrow. Hey, it's Masters Week. Yes, I am shifting from baseball to golf. What a day for Rob Brown.
Rob, how dare you? Our listeners want to listen to baseball, sir.
I'm so stoked for this, man.
It's the best time of the year.
Masters is, it's a beaut. It's a beaut. It's a beaut. It's the best thing that happens in golf year round. I'm stoked, dude. Excited about this. Was talking to a gentleman yesterday, big golf guy, works with fiance. Was over at her place of employment. We watched the eclipse together because we're adorable. And I was talking to one of her coworkers, big golf guy. And I said, "How you feeling about the Masters?" And he said,
"My loins have been tingling."
He didn't really say that, but you know, that's what we that's what we all mean. He said what I said on the show yesterday. I actually did a segment about this on the opening hour of the radio program yesterday. The Masters is very interesting to me every year, but it's particularly interesting to me this year for one reason. because maybe I'm misreading it, but it doesn't seem to be particularly interesting to America like it usually does. And I got a theory on that, and you golf dudes out there, I'm curious if you feel the same way. The Masters is every year the calendar event for this golf, for this sport. It is the Daytona 500 of golf. It is the Super Bowl of golf. It is the World Series of golf. It is the finals of golf. Even though it's not, it is. It's all of those things, but for this sport. And normally at this time of the year, this is where I start seeing Masters stuff everywhere. This is ordinarily where I see bars and restaurants putting out golf stuff. Hey, come down and drink our world-famous Arnold Palmer this weekend. 2-for-1. Come try our hole-in-one burger. A burger that we put a hole in it. Because golf, you get it. This is ordinarily the point of the calendar where we would start to see golf everywhere. And I'm not seeing it this year. Now, it's on all the sports channels, sure. Because the golf fans, the sports fans, they're all in. But I'm not really seeing it being pimped out like I do most of the time around this time of year. And I have a working theory on that. My working theory is that what John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, and Bryson DeChambeau have all said in the past week is prophetic. What they have all said is the current split is unsustainable. It's unsustainable. It is unsustainable in that and because you can't get and keep the attention on the game if the best players in the world are all over the damn place. This is, for instance, one of the reasons that I think soccer has such a damn tough time growing in this country. Because if you want to follow the biggest American soccer players, you've got to wake up at 3:30 in the morning and watch Spanish golf or Spanish soccer and German soccer and French soccer and English soccer and Danish soccer and Belgian soccer. If you want to watch the biggest soccer players just in general, you've got to watch English soccer and French soccer and German soccer and Saudi Arabian soccer, or else you can't see all the best players in the world. And that makes it real hard to track because there's a lot of it. I'm a soccer guy, but I'm going to be real with you. I watch EPL, I check in on Bundesliga, and I watch MLS, and that's pretty much it. Plus international football, obviously. But ordinarily, when international American football rolls around and it's time to go check in on what our internationals have been doing, I got to research because I'm not watching second division lower level German football to find out where our backup reserve left back has been in the starting lineup, right? The reason we keep up with football, American football, is because all the best football players on planet Earth are here. They're here. The reason I can keep up with basketball is because all the best, even though basketball is now officially a global game, if you are one of the best elsewhere, you come here and you play in the NBA. Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, all the best players play here now. So it's easy to follow. It's all in my backyard, right? With the LIV Tour over there and the PGA Tour over here and half the best golfers in the world playing over there and half the best golfers in the world playing over here, it's hard to keep up. It just is. Then you add the lack of accessibility to the LIV Tour. Quick! Last week, where did the LIV Tour play? I'm not asking you what channel, what time, just where did they play? Where was the tournament?
No idea.
Correct. And the overwhelming majority of you, even golf fans, in my experience, Don't have any damn clue. You don't know. So here comes John Rahm. And here comes Phil Mickelson. And here come all these Live Tour golfers getting set, getting fired up for the Masters this weekend. What did they do in their tournament? What did John Rahm do in the tournament last week on the Live Tour? None of you know.
Some of you know.
The hardcores know.
CW knows.
But none of you know. Because they didn't want you watched it. Okay? That's just the reality. So this is an unsustainable way to run the golf world. It just is. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if the answer is a merger. I don't know if you're the PGA Tour, if you just suffer through it and realize those guys will come back. I don't know if you just have to give up and try to, I'll tell you what I do. I'm investing more down the line. I'm not merging with the Live Tour. I'm investing more into the second levels of golf, into growing the game of golf. I'm trying to find the next round of superstars and grow them within the PGA Tour so that we build some loyalty amongst our next generation of golfers and they want to stick around. But the Masters is proving right now, in my opinion, that the current model of golf, with half the best players in the world playing on one side of the world and half the best players on the other side of the world, with golf being a niche sport, this ain't the NFL, dog. This ain't the NBA. This ain't any of that. This is golf. This is one of the hardest sports to get people into. I can take somebody up to Charlotte for a NASCAR race, and I can set them in the pits to watch a race, and 80% of the time I take somebody to their first race, they come back. 80% of the time, give or take, anecdotally. I get them, I put them in, then they want to come back and watch more NASCAR down the line. I take people to their first baseball game in person, their first hockey game. I've done this with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits 100 times since I moved here. Somebody goes, I've never been to a hockey game, Rob, and I get them tickets, and I take them to a Rabbits game, and the next thing you know, they're texting me going, hey, man, you got any extra tickets for this weekend? Who do I call to buy tickets to this weekend? It ain't really like that with golf. You either like golf or you don't like golf. It's hard to get somebody into golf. The Masters is proving that with golf being as split up as golf is split up right now in a sport that's already as difficult as it is to get new people in, the model is unsustainable. It just is. Let's take a break. We got 1 hour left. We're going to hit the ground running when we come back. But before we do, it is time for a Sports Flash. And it's been 7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!